I'm just going to start with a little intro, and then I'm going to tell you what the title of my message is. When I was a baby Christian, I'm sure like most when you first get saved, I was totally led by feelings and emotion. Can anybody relate to that? And it was really what I came to find out was I was borderline delusional, I guess you could say, because I thought when I got saved, I was just going to have this, you know, just amazing life, no problems, no resistance, no nothing. You know, it was just step into this, and this is the way it is. And how many of you know that's not always how it is? So I realized that a lot of it was just ignorance, and the more I started growing, and the more I started getting in the Word and discovering truth, you know, it's the truth that sets us free. We will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And once I started getting in the Word of God and finding out what the truth was, then I started walking in more freedom. You know, when Levi was 6 months old, or any baby, when any baby is still a baby in the natural, they are totally dependent on us, right? I mean, you have to feed them. You have to change their diapers. You have to clothe them. You have to nurture them. You have to do everything every minute of the day. And as wonderful as that is, at 6 months, you cherish that because you just know that if they're 26 like that and still like that, that's kind of going to be weird. You know, you're not supposed to do that. In the natural, we understand that we're born and then we're supposed to progress and we're supposed to grow up. And it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. When we're first born again, a lot of times we come into this life, into this new life. We know we're new creations in Christ Jesus, but then we don't really know what to do with it. We're not really discipled along the way. So hopefully tonight we're gonna put some steps into action and find out more how we can progress and grow in this. Hold on one sec. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." When we're born again, just like when we're born, we have access to all the freedoms and the rights. When we're a baby, we're going to walk in the fullness of who we really are, in the natural, right? And it's the same thing when we become born again. We don't have that knowledge yet, but if we keep at it and we consistently grow in the Word of God, then you're going to find out what belongs to you, what rightfully is yours to take, and then we're going to grow up, or we should be growing all along the way. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." We've been positioned in Christ, and everything that we will ever need has already been available to us, been made available for us. We just have to learn how to walk that out. Amen? We don't have to go looking for healing, for finances, for provision. All of that is already in Him. And where are we? In Him, right? That already belongs to us. We just have to learn how to walk this out. And I've learned one key thing to experience true transformation in this life, we have to learn to renew our minds to the truth of God's Word. That's where everything starts, is in the way we think. If we don't learn to think differently, we'll never be different. So it's up to us to taste and eat, taste and see, and take and eat what is already ours. We have to feast on the promises of God. Well, I'll just say that I'm not much on, you know, you hear these messages like 6 steps to this and 9 keys to this. And with that being said, that's exactly the kind of message I've got tonight. So not really a step and key kind of message, but these are just practical things that I've learned in my life that have helped me tremendously. Things I didn't know as a baby Christian, but the Lord has taught me through the years how to walk more in these things. And hopefully I can, you know, hopefully convey that to you effectively tonight. I'm believing with the Lord's help, I'm going to be able to. So, number one is know whose we are. And the scriptures that I've got for this, I'm going to let y'all jot these down. I'm not even turning to them because we probably won't have enough time. It's John 1:12 and Ephesians 1:3-4. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." See, we were accepted by God before we were ever rejected by another human being in any kind of shape, form, or fashion. We were already accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So know whose we are. I saw a quote not too long ago. It said, "I am who I am because the great," in all caps, "I am," tells me who I am. Isn't that powerful? I am who I am because the great I am tells me who I am. Joyce Meyer, I remember listening to her one time, and she, I believe this was her youngest son, has anybody heard her testimony? She went through horrible abuse as a child and at the hands of her dad. And she, I can imagine, as a mom, you know, had some stuff she had to work through as being a mother to her four children. Well, her youngest son came to her one day and just started blaming her for all his issues, saying, you know, you're the reason I'm the way I am. And she just looked at him and she said, "Let me say this to you." She said, "You can have the same Jesus I've got anytime you get ready, but today's the last day you'll continue to blame me for your problems. You're not going to blame me for your problems anymore." Because the bottom line is, what it is an identity crisis. I looked up the word crisis, and it says a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. That's a crisis. There's an identity crisis in the body of Christ today. And you know, this would be really rough if we had been left without an answer. But we haven't. We've been left with the solution to every problem we could ever face. His name is Jesus. And I want to encourage y'all, Trey has a little pamphlet called In the Mirror, and it's all the In Him scriptures. This is one thing that has helped me. There are no words to describe to you how much this has helped me renew my mind to the truth of who I am in Him. And if you will just stay, you know, the Word of God is like a hammer. And any strongholds, any wrong patterns of thinking that we've got, if you'll just stick with it long enough, it'll just be like a chisel. It'll just hammer away any kind of wrong thinking you've got until you just wake up one morning, you realize, hey, I'm free. I'm not the same person I used to be, right? And I know the world throws so much at us with advertisements on how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to dress, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to talk, how we're supposed to think, what we're supposed to wear, what kind of car we're supposed to drive, what kind of house we're supposed to live in. God did not make us like that. There's nobody else like any one of you in this building. He made a new creation when he made you. There's nobody else like you, and you have to get to that place where you love yourself because of the one who made you is love himself, right? So really, and another thing, let me just make this point too. We don't need to be listening to anything the world says. They are completely without God. And they're trying to tell us who we are. We should already know that. We should already know the truth so we can spot a lie a mile away, right? So the bottom line is this. We got to believe either what God says or what the world says, which is basically dominated by our thoughts and our feelings. So we're either going to be feeling-led or God-led or spirit-led. Amen? And whatever choice we make will determine whether we are a victor or a victim in this life. Number two, know what we have. I wrote down a quote from E.W. Kenyon. It says, "To be God inside-minded is to be victors." And I flipped that when I was studying for this, and the opposite would be true also, I think. To be me inside-minded is to be a victim. When we're always focused on us, let me just say that I can say this because I used to be there. I used to be, God, I can't even believe who I am today. I mean, that God has brought me to the point, it makes me want to cry because it was just, I was in such bondage and so emotion-led that I couldn't receive the Word of God if I had to. because I was so caught up. And you know, a lot of people, when they're caught up in stuff, a lot of times it's because they come from poor home situations or they've been abused. You know, that's a lot different than if you just go out and make stupid choices on your own. You know, I mean, I did it to myself. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to be a victim at the hands of somebody else, but when you're just making dumb choices and you're doing it to yourself, a lot of times that's harder to get over than if you were innocent. You know? It really is. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I'm the poster child for I know what I'm talking about. So let me just give you an example of this. Just say I have a very rich relative that passes away, and at the reading of the will, I find out that he has left me $10 million. And not only do I have that, but he's deposited it in my account at the bank. I mean, who would we be if we sat here and said, you know, I'm just not worthy of that. I just don't think that's true. Nothing good ever happens to me. We'd be down there at that bank withdrawing what was rightfully ours. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. We've got an inheritance that the Lord Jesus Christ has left for us that is far greater than $10 million. But the thing is, we've got to learn how to take it. And truth is truth, and it's not going to stop being truth until we decide to come on board with it. It's going to go right on being revelation, and it's going to go right on being truth until we say, you know what? If God said it, that settles it for me. We have to choose to take part of whatever it is that he's already done for us, and we do not come off the Word of God. We do not back down. We don't shrink back no matter what. God's Word never fails, never returns void. You can take it to the bank, so to speak. So let me give you some scriptures for that reference number two. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. Philemon 1:6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We got a lot of good things that are in us because of Christ. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. 2 Peter 1:3-5, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Luke 9:1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. One scripture in the Word of God you could meditate on for years. So I know this is a lot of scripture, but I would love for y'all to just write these down and go back and meditate on these, you know, in the months to come. Number three, set your heart to seek God. This is key during any battle you're facing. Pastor Trey has written a book, The Believer's Battle Plan, and in it, it details how King Jehoshaphat walked out of the crisis situation he was in into the amazing deliverance from his enemies. And you can read about it in 2 Chronicles 20. Just for time's sake, I don't have time to go into that. But, you know, sometimes enemies can be people. Sometimes enemies can be things that the Lord has already delivered us out of. Sickness and disease would be such a thing. We know we've been redeemed from that. We know he's delivered us out of sin. We know we've been redeemed from sickness. And John 10:10 says, Jesus is saying, I have come that they may have life, have it to the full, overflowing in abundance. The overflowing life, that's what God came to provide for us, or Jesus came to provide for us. And anything that tries to rob us of that right there is an enemy. I'm going to tell, just give the very condensed version of this, because I don't know if y'all know this, but I know a few of you do. My mama was diagnosed a couple years ago with breast cancer. And I remember when she called me to tell me, number one, that she had found a lump, and, you know, waiting weeks and weeks and weeks to discover that it was indeed cancer. And I remember Trey was in India at this time, and my emotions ran the whole gamut in about half a nanosecond. And, you know, sometimes those can just, you feel like they're going to overpower you, and then you have to rein it back in. You have to say, no, what does the Word of God say about this? What am I going to stand on? I'm not going to stand on my emotions, because they're very fleeting. I mean, they can change from second to second. So the long and the short of it is this. I came home one Sunday from church, maybe the week or 2 weeks before she started chemo. The doctors were recommended she go eight rounds of chemo and a double mastectomy. And I remember coming home from church one Sunday and just laying across our bed bawling, just getting it out of my system. You know, sometimes you just have to have a good cry. And once I stopped and the tears dried up, I thought, okay, I've got to set my heart to seek the Lord on this. So I got up the next morning at very early, and I face planted in our family room. And I said, I'm not moving until I hear from you. I'm not moving. If I have to stay here all day, I'm not moving until I know I've heard a word from you. And I wasn't down there long, and I heard as clearly as I'm hearing myself speak to y'all tonight, I heard, and the first thing I said was, Lord, I do not want her walking this way. I know this is what the doctors are recommending. I know this is, you know, the way she's going to go, because she had already told us and made known, you know, had made this known to us. But to me, you know, it's just toxic to your body. It's like poison. And immediately I heard him speak to my spirit and say, she can drink anything deadly and it will not harm her. And then he took me to Jeremiah, I think it's 1:8, that says, I am with her to deliver her. He said it personally. He said her. I came out of that floor, I felt like Samson. I felt, I have heard from God. I know this peace flooded my body. I mean, flooded my soul. And I thought, okay, this is good. This is the rhema word that I needed for this battle. This is what he's telling me. I want y'all to know through 16 weeks, because it was like once every 2 weeks she had a treatment. She never got sick. She never lost 1 pound of weight. She did lose her hair just from the drugs, not the cancer. She had a mastectomy, walked out of the hospital the next morning. I mean, it was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know, when you have a daughter, especially as a mother, if you're close, when your mother's going through something, it's as good as you going through it, or vice versa. So Isaiah 26:3 also kept me grounded during this time, that says, you will keep me in perfect peace when I keep my mind stayed on you, because I trust in you. It's very hard to keep our mind stayed on somebody we can't trust in. But once we know that person is dependable and trustworthy, we can keep our peace. We can keep our mind stayed on him. And there's nobody trustworthy like our God. Amen. Okay, number four. Take your thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I had a job about 20 years ago, and I worked for a woman who was not a Christian, and we had an okay relationship when we first started out. And I think the more I started sharing my faith and, you know, sharing what I really believe, it was like persecution came. You know, she just took this personal disliking to me. And every day that I went into the office felt like a war zone. I'm like, oh, Lord. I remember telling God, she's going to have to go or I am, because I don't think this place is big enough for the two of us. And he told me very clearly, if you want, and it was in a very loving, gentle way, if you want everything I've got for you, you're going to have to go walk through this. I'm going to be there with you, but I want you to stay. Because if you leave just because you don't like something, you short-circuit the whole character development process that I'm wanting to take you through. Because it may be something bigger down the road that you couldn't weather if you hadn't already gone through this battle. You see what I'm saying? I really learned through this job what it truly meant to not only read the word, but walk it out. I had plenty of practice to walk it out every single day. So I've learned also that submission Submitting to authority, it's easy to submit to somebody you agree with. Real submission is when you have to submit when you don't agree. That's you know, not the easiest thing to do. But it gets easier with every act of obedience. We say yes to God, and it gets easier every time we do it from that point on. Taking your thoughts captive, to me, simply means gaining control over what we think about. It's really gaining control and taking charge of your life His way. Does that make sense? This is a key to me. What we put in our minds has a direct effect on what we think. Did you ever, as a child, watch, or even as an adult, watch a scary movie and then end up having a nightmare because of it? It didn't take me long to realize that if I didn't want to have nightmares, I just needed to quit watching stuff like that, right? I mean, that's kind of common sense. So, anyway, hold on, I just had a moment. Hold on, let me gather my thoughts. I just zoned out for a little while. Oh, here we go. Our minds are not garbage dumps, and our hearts are not waste places. We have to learn how to control what we are thinking about. And you know, one of the keys for me to doing this is self-talk. It is vital to becoming who we are in Him. I mean, if you're always just down on yourself and you can never do anything right and you're telling yourself that, you don't need to be telling yourself that anymore. You need to be saying what God says about you. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. You just need to get in there and say, choose to focus on the things that the Lord has told us to focus on. And the Word has told us that. Philippians 4:8 tells us we're to think about things that are true and noble, just, pure, lovely, admirable. If we couldn't do this, it wouldn't be in the Word of God for us to do. God's not going to tell us to do something that we're not capable of doing. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number 5, speak the word only. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. When we're thinking correctly, we're speaking correctly. I heard Joyce Meyer say this one time. She said, we know we're getting a revelation on the words we speak when we actually have to watch what comes out of our mouth. You know, when you're not even watching and it's just like, kind of like verbal vomit on somebody, you know, that's, you're not guarding your mouth. You're not watching what's coming out of your mouth. When you actually have to start actively watching that, you know you're getting a revelation. And if you really want to know what's in your heart, if I really want to know what's in my heart, I'm listening to what's coming out of my mouth. I'm taking inventory. That's wisdom for us. We have to take inventory of what we're saying and what we're speaking. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. This is, to me, one of the most powerful scriptures in my life, because I realize how much power there is in the choices we make. God's not making us do anything. I mean, he'll let us talk negatively about ourselves, but it's going to come up in our emotions. I mean, you're going to feel terrible about yourself. You're going to look at yourself in a way that's not godly. He wants you to choose life, and he wants you to choose blessing, because that's who he is. And he wants only the best for us in this life. Number 6, see beyond the circumstances. Romans 4:17 says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And Mark 11:23 and 24 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If Abraham had never seen himself with spiritual eyes, that he was the father of many nations, he would have never called himself that. Even though God called him that, he had to see himself that way. for him to start. And you know what? These people, you know, the Israelites probably thought he was bonkers. Can you imagine if I went around saying, I'm the mother of many nations? Can you imagine? I mean, you would probably feel weird at first. But if God tells you to say something, amen, say it. He's trying to get something out of you that he put in you, and it's for your purpose in this life. He has chosen to make us his sons and daughters, and we've got to start seeing ourselves this way. When we see beyond the circumstances, I'll give you an example of this. When my mama was going through her treatments, the Lord just put on my heart to make her a scrapbook. And I put all kinds of healing scriptures in there and just encouragements and pictures of when she was at a time in her life when she was in perfect health. Pictures of us, pictures of she with the grandkids. Because it kept before her eyes constantly what she was going to get back to. It gave her something to look at that said, you may be walking through the valley, but you're not walking into it to stay. You're going to come out of this. You're walking out of this. Amen. Number 7, be careful what you listen to. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's so important what we listen to, because no matter what we're listening to, faith can come, whether that be the word of God or the 6 o'clock worldly news, which is also the propaganda machine. I mean, it's just, you know, you're going to listen to what somebody else is speaking for an agenda, or we're going to be looking for the agenda God's already determined is ours. So we're going to listen to God and know that faith comes by hearing. Here's the thing I love, whether y'all are hearing me tonight, whether you're hearing anybody that stands up here, or you're hearing yourself, faith can also come by hearing ourselves speak. It's voice, the word of God is voice activated. So as long as we're hearing it, faith's coming. And we have to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. We've told Levi from the time that he was old enough to understand this, always be careful what you put in your eyes, before your eyes and in your ears, because it goes straight into your heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We had a instance where he had a little game on his iPad not too long ago, and it was completely fine. There were a lot of kids playing. It was safe. We had checked it out. Well, caught wind that there was some perversions going on in there. Some people were trying to get in there and create a different culture for the kids. And he caught a little blurb of it, and praise the Lord, took it upon himself to delete the app and text his friends and say, I'm not playing this anymore. Thank you, Lord. Because we have been preaching this to him for a long time. And that's what he was cautious about. He knew he couldn't be putting things like that in front of his eyes and listening to things like that. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the way we think is the way our lives are going to go. There's just no getting around that. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Be careful what you listen to, or be careful what you listen to, and be careful who you listen to, right? Number 8, forget what lies behind. And I will say this too. I gave you that example of my mom just as an example. But forget what lies behind. Sometimes we have to just press in to forget those things, because when I talk about that, sometimes it can put me back where I remember all those emotions again and remember what it was like at first. And we need to forget what lies behind and press on to what God's got for us. Amen? Leave the past in the past. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Mistakes, regrets, wrong choices, what people have done to us, what we've done to others. If we're to effectively run our race, we've got to be looking ahead, not back. I used to run track, and I ran these short, quick sprints. You just run as hard and fast as you can for a short distance. And I learned very quickly, if I looked back to see how close somebody was behind me, those people that were behind me were going to soon be in front of me. And I didn't want that. So I learned real quickly, if I wanted to win, I was going to have to keep my gaze fixed on the finish line. And that's how it is spiritually. God has plan A for us, for all of us in this room. But if we don't take the baton and run the race that he's trying to get us to run, he'll go on to plan B. I don't want plan B. I want plan A. And I know everybody else in this room does too. Number 9, decide to be unoffendable. Yes, Bruce, amen. This keeps your heart free. And this is another one of those things I have, I can stand up here and say I have probably been more offended than anybody in this room put together at points in my life. So I know we've all been there, but it's just one of the seasons in my life I walked through wrong choices that I just chose to be offended. And I'm telling you, when you make that choice to stay that way, it is pointless and it is fruitless. It's like a runaway train. It will take you nowhere fast. Listen to this scripture in Matthew 13, 54 through 57. When Jesus, when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. Can't you just hear the contempt there? Who is this? Who does he think he is? This is Jesus. We know him. We know his family. Offense can come when there's no honor. Honor can be defined as honesty, fairness, or integrity in one's beliefs and actions. To honor someone is to hold him in high respect. You know, this is a very maybe natural way of thinking about things, but this has always helped me a lot. Just assume that everybody you meet is doing the best they can. I know there's people out there that don't. I know that. But just assume that everybody you come across is going through something and is just simply doing the best they can. Because you know what? Even if they aren't, I know this. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Even if they're not doing the best they can, I know one thing. Everybody you meet's made in the image of God. And God's got a plan for their life. They just haven't come on board with it yet. So many times, you know, we might meet that person who is just, I'll give you an example. This was very recent. This was the Sunday before Christmas. We're pulling through Krispy Kreme right up here. Pouring down rain. In my new car, I might add. Yes, I was. I was in my new car, and I was excited about it. Well, it was a gully washer. And we pull, you know how if you go through the drive-thru up here, you can kind of do a U-turn and end up back on Hightower instead of having to go on to Pinona, hit the light, and then turn on the Hightower. That's all I was trying to do. It was not a big deal. Well, Levi was in the car with me, and this guy had pulled like catty-cornered where he's blocking traffic. I can't go anywhere. And I'm thinking, okay, it's pouring down rain. I'm being like extra cautious. You know, it's like taking me extra time to pull out of anywhere. So the guy, I motioned for him. I said, I need to get right there. He rolls down his window. He says, back up. I thought, oh, Jesus. I'm on my way to church. And let me just tell y'all this. I had to make a choice in that moment. It helped that my 12-year-old was in the car. Because you know when you preach the fruit of the Spirit, you have to walk in that. But just to let y'all know that I do have flesh just like the rest of you, the thought that crossed my mind, he was smoking a cigar. I wanted to go over to his car, pull the cigar out of his mouth, and extinguish it on his forehead. I'm like, dude, oh my goodness. And then I thought, what does the Word of God say? This is not sweet. This is not what God says. It's just a thought. And then, that was just what I thought. And then I said, bless him, Lord. Who knows what he's going through? And I'm telling you, when people do things and they're ugly and they act irritated with you, it has far more to do with them than it ever does you. He didn't know me from anybody. He had no idea who I was. He might have been struggling in an area that I can't even imagine. But once we get a hold of the Word of God and once we start growing and walking that, we're responsible to carry that with us everywhere we go because we've got to be good representations of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to show the world who Jesus is. I would not have shown Jesus to him if I had done what I thought that day. So, good thing I did. He never backed up. Oh, I had to back up to get back on the road. Yes, I did. Yes. So, just a little real transparent moment there. Number 10, praise is your breakthrough. Acts 16, 25 through 26 says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. I was driving down Riverside," this has been within the last year, "and I remember that morning I woke up and it was just like, for no reason, nothing was going on, but this just spiritual heaviness was coming at me. I mean, left and right, I could feel it. I mean, I even had tension like in my neck and shoulder area. And I thought, I am not putting up with this. And just by an act of my will, I lifted my hands up. Well, one hand. I was driving, so I lifted one hand up and just started praising the Lord and singing in the Spirit. I promise y'all, within 1 minute, it had completely lifted. The heaviness was gone. Everything about it was just completely gone. And I think, what if I had not resisted that and just wallowed in that all day? I would have wasted a lot of time and a lot of energy, right? The enemy does not want us praising and worshiping God because he knows that's where our breakthrough lies. It's not a walkthrough. It's not a drive-through. It's a breakthrough. Something has to be broken. And praise and worship is not hard. It's not taxing. It's very easy to do. We just have to keep our minds and get our minds fixed on Jesus in order to do that. The enemy has zero authority over us. We've got the authority. The authority lies with us, not him. He's been defeated. Number 11, last one, is don't quit. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate these who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And then Lamentations 3:21 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail." They never fail. I love that song, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father." You know, there are going to be times we come up against things in our lives, disappointments, delays, and we just have to remember that we have got to keep our eyes fixed on him. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's our hope. We got to take our eyes off our circumstances and look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to go back to the Word of God and remember that it is forever settled in heaven. This is the firm foundation on which we stand. Who is like him? Psalm 89:8 says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you." He's faithful. He cannot be anything else. This is the character of God. And the only way we lose is if we quit. We're not going to quit. Nobody in this room is going to quit. We are victors. We are not victims. We're not going to quit. We're not going to shrink back. We're going to run our race. And we are going to be victorious in everything the enemy ever tries to throw our way when we keep our eyes fixed on him. We're going to run our races and commit to faithfulness just like our faithful Father, because he is for us and he will never fail us and never forsake us. He is on our side and we win every single time because of who he is. Amen. Amen.